It is a particularly special edition of Dan Really Likes Wine this week, as I find myself not at home in Johannesburg nor in the Winelands, but instead in Ballito, where, if you're listening, you won't be able to see. If you're watching, we might sneak in a glimpse a little later. The view is rather good. It's not the beauty and the tranquility of a Johannesburg car park, which is obviously first prize when it comes to setting up a restaurant. Instead, it is the sweep of the Indian Ocean, some glorious beach, and a perfect day on the north coast, because we are in Ballito and we're at Al Pescatore, who I think played for Lazio in the 70s, is home of, amongst other things, a rather nice trophy, a second runner-up in this year's Porcupine Ridge Pizzeria Challenge. And it is a victory, Linton Kaiser, that I think even if the pizza was rubbish, which we know it's not, they could probably still win just on the venue, because 100%. By God, this is amazing.
Take the setting any day.
Now, I'm used to normally seeing you, and again, if you're listening, picture Linton, who's this rather good-looking wine executive, who's normally in a three-piece suit and coasting about from job to job. Instead, pair of shorts, rolled-up sleeves, glass of wine in hand. You are on holiday. And happily so.
No, you set it up there. You set it up with a lovely team here and a cold glass of Sauvignon Blanc. And yeah, like you said, great view, great venue.
It's a competition we've been working on for a while now, the last few years, where pizza and wine come together with that third crucial element, which is ferocious debate, because everybody knows who makes the best pizza, but nobody can ever agree on exactly who that is.
Of course, it's your local that makes the best pizza.
Oh, exactly. And that's been at the core of the success of this particular challenge, bringing people together around their local community pizzeria and doing their best to confirm that their one is actually number one.
100%. The debate's been fierce this year, but luckily the people have come out and supported their locals. It's been really the fun thing from us at Porcupine Ridge and at Buchenholzkloof is really kind of interacting with some of our consumer winners and checking for and kind of chatting to those that have voted for their local restaurants, and they've always been local people.
There's something very specific in terms of the trend of who finishes in the podium spots. I look at this year, Bardelli's in Kenilworth, Gino's up in Johannesburg, El Pescatore here in Ballito. Yes, the pizza is excellent. We'll be trying some a little later, but every one of the three venues is very much owner personality driven. You're not just coming for a good meal, you're coming for the people, for the experience, for a sense of, I really feel at home here.
100%. That's been the kind of the real success of the Pizza Challenge. It's really just brought out community restaurants and the communities that support restaurants very loyally. It's been really fun to watch.
We've spoken many times about this relationship between pizza and wine. It's a very easy one, but it's also one where, you know, pizza's a fairly blue-collar meal, but there still is that element of food and wine pairing. And we've seen some quite interesting pizza this year, which has brought the best out of some very different wine.
Yeah, absolutely. The debate around pizza is exactly the same debate around wine. Should you be having pineapple on pizza, or should you be having a red wine with a seafood or a Three Seasons pizza? It's been the wonderful conversation that you can have around pizza and add wine together. There's really no right or wrong answer. It's really a personal preference.
You are part of a wine stable that's got some pretty high-end stuff. One of my children is not going to school next year because I was able to purchase half a case of Porcelainburg, and that sits at the top, regularly 100-point wine. It's not a wine you're drinking every Tuesday with a pizza. It's a very special occasion wine because of the nature of it. But as you move through the range of wines, the Buchenholzkloof, the Chocolates Block, you come to a Porcupine Ridge, you do something that South Africa, I think, is consistently able to do so well. It's a fairly high volume production of wine that's not massively expensive, but still delivers really good quality. And that's really the bedrock of so much of our wine industry.
Yeah. And, you know, being a fairly large wine business like we are at Buchenholzkloof, we end up being able to produce incredibly good wines at really fantastic price points. If you consider our business in terms of Porcupine Ridge and our Wolf Trap brand, and then the higher priced the premium wines that you've named a few above that, there's so much good quality wine in our cellar and in our facility. That little bit of declassification that we can do every year for, let's take Syrah, for example, where we're producing Porcelainburg or the Buchenholz Kluft Syrah, there's juice from those wines that's making its way into Chocolate Block, and if it doesn't make its way to Chocolate Block, it finds its way to Wolf Trap Red or the Porcupine Ridge Syrah. So there's a lot of incredible quality base wine that kind of floats around in our winery that fills a lot of holes and ends up being resulting in really good wine in the bottle, even at our inexpensive price points.
Jump back to a word you used there, because it's one not everybody will be overly familiar with. You've kind of explained what it is, but I think important to retouch on it. Declassification, this is not the FBI deciding, right, we can put these files on the internet. This refers to how you're taking wine that is moving down a division, so to speak, in terms of what's on the label, but not in terms of quality.
Correct. So really, ultra premium priced Cabernet in our cellar from Stellenbosch might be destined for something like our Buchenholz Kluft Stellenbosch Cabernet, but when it comes to blending, and Mark Kent and his team are incredible, his team of winemakers are incredible when they do their blending process, they might get to a point where they find that there's a component that's not fitting the style of something of one of our more ultra premium wines, and that then would get declassified into something like our Helderberg Winery Reserve Cabernet, or ultimately into something like the Porcupine Ridge Cabernet.
The fact that you've got this journey you can take within the broader brand family, for me, is a lovely one, because it means if you are just looking for a wine for a midweek dinner, or you are at the start of your wine journey, you don't have a lot of money to spend on wine, or you're not sure that you want to spend a lot as you discover what different things are, you've got a Porcupine Ridge or similar that you can buy and still continue to drink for many years to come. But that's also your stepping stone into those wines, the levels above.
Yeah, so our business is slightly different in that we don't have one kind of brand that kind of overreaches or overarches our entire business. We prefer to take you, the consumer, on a journey through different brands with us. So you've mentioned now with sort of Porcupine Ridge and Wolf Trap as our sort of base, as our entry into our business, and then up trading you, taking you up in terms of premiumization through to brands above that, then taking you through to Helderberg or our Cup Maritime brand, through to Chocolate Block, and then ultimately to our Buchenholz Kluft and our Porcelainburg one, for example.
I sent you an email very early this morning, and immediately an out-of-office bounce back saying, in a conference on Monday, please WhatsApp if urgent.
In a conference with Dan Nicholl.
Well, I then arrived and discovered you were in your swimwear, and had just walked out of the beach, Daniel Craig-like, down below us. You've come here very, very happily, because it is such an iconic spot on the North Coast. You've seen enough of the restaurants we featured in the competition. What for you gives El Pescatore that something special that's allowed them to sit on the podium this year?
Well, you know, we always talk about venues, but venues are incredible and settings are amazing. But obviously, it's been a restaurant that, like so many of those restaurants that have done incredibly well in the Pizza Challenge, they've been around for a long time. They're family-owned, they're family-managed. They're not just family-owned, they're family-run. The people that are behind them are the people that started them, and they're on the floor every day and then welcoming back their regulars. And that's been the most wonderful thing to see. Folks have been here for since 1989. Two venues, but stayed in Bolito, and obviously just welcoming back the same people week in and week out.
And there is something very comforting and reassuring where you might go and visit other restaurants, you might drink other bottles of wine, but you know you've got that standard. That's my comfort blanket. I can come back, I know what the experience is going to be like, I know what the reward is going to be.
Yeah, exactly. And at El Pescatore here, I've checked the wine list through as well. I mean, a little bit for everybody here in terms of price point, anything from delicious wines like Porcupine Ridge through to ultra premium. I see our Chocolate Block listed on here, and a few other household names as well. So really a great wine list for you to come and visit that really caters for every price point.
It's a touch after 9 o'clock on a Monday morning. I'm looking out over blue skies, a rich blue ocean with a glass of Sauvignon Blanc.
Did you not set your clock back when you travelled in?
Okay. Back to the late 90s. As Mondays go, I think you and I are probably having better than most with wine that has got a sibling on its way. Before I let you get back down onto the beach and back into the water, I'm hearing rumours that we might be relieving the Kiwis of some of their grapes and bringing something rather special across to South Africa.
Absolutely, yeah. Mark has a particular love for a little bit of Sauvignon Blanc, and took an opportunity to travel down to New Zealand in the middle of the year to just Porcupine Ridge Sauvignon Blanc. The Sauvignon Blanc has been a really stalwart product in the Porcupine Ridge basket. Mark took an opportunity to travel down to New Zealand, land of the Long White Cloud, middle of the year, and blend a Marlborough Sauvignon Blanc, which will be landing imminently into the country. If the wind gods down in the Cape don't keep our port windbound for too much longer. So look out for it. It's going to be a delicious New Zealand Sauvignon Blanc, known as South Island, Porcupine Ridge, South Island Sauvignon Blanc from Marlborough.
All right. I look forward to trying it. I look forward to seeing which particular pizza goes with it rather well, and to continuing to celebrate these fantastic establishments. I love this competition. I love this platform because it shines a light on restaurants that really are the backbone of our restaurant industry. They're not the Michelin-starred restaurants. They're not the ones that feature on those kind of lists, but they feature on arguably an even more important list, which is the neighborhood stalwart that's had people coming for 10, 15, 20 years. Week in, week out.
Put the eat back into eatery rather than restaurant.
Legend, thank you.
Cheers.
We are going to send him back to the beach if you're on the beach at the moment. Good luck. And in his place, well, who's behind this remarkable space? Who has given it not just the impetus to be in the top three of the challenge, but has given it 3 decades of putting smiles on faces? Let's meet the incredible team at El Pescatore. So what then the story of Al Pescatore? It's got a wonderfully Italian name, it clearly has wonderful pizza, and it's got some wonderful people behind it. And as of the last couple of weeks, it has got a spot on the podium for this year's edition of the Porcupine Ridge Pizzeria of the Year. Third place, second runner-up to give it the official title. Nicole, congratulations, and a very proud dad as well. Guys, well done. How surprising was it to get this result?
We realized that we were going against some big players up north. We are a smaller restaurant in a smaller town, so we really wanted it, one of the three spots, and we worked hard at it. And the pizzas, I suppose, brought us through. Eh? What do you think?
I'm very proud. We're a tiny little mom and pop store in a small town called Belita off the north coast of KZN, and to win an award like this means a lot for our family and a lot to our team. You know, to say one of the three best in the country is an incredible feat.
A little spot in Belita.
Only took me 36 years to get there.
Well, let's tell a bit of that story, because you're now going back well over 3 decades. The third mysterious part of this triangle is a young lady called Jenny, who is not with us here today. But she was integral as the two of you began your journey here.
It actually was more than three. So we had three partners, and Jenny and myself came down from Cape Town. Jenny is originally from Germany. And we started this tiny little trattoria in the Boulevard Center, which is about a kilometer north from here. And it was very basic. And eventually, Jenny's the accountant and the brains behind the business. She said to me, look, I think it's time we bought our partners out. And that's what we did. We bought out our three partners. And then we kind of went it alone. And then I could do, because I wanted more than just an Italian restaurant. I wanted a Mediterranean. I love playing with food and I love creating meals. And that's when I felt El Pescatore really happened, where we could start making dishes that aren't traditionally Italian, but they got the flavors and I love the umami. I love the textures. I love making food that's different, that when you try it, you're going to go, wow, I've never eaten anything like that before.
Now, the food you make would have its work cut out for it, because there is some serious competition as you look out from the deck. You probably could have got away with a sandwich bar and people would have come here because it looks so good, but you've not done that. You've really focused on the food, and you've had to create food that has been able to match this view.
Without a doubt. The three things: view, food, and ambience. And Nicole really has changed the ambience side. I was locked in the 80s with burgundy walls, and Nicole came in and she changed the whole restaurant. The bar was on the other side there. We built the new bar here. Everything went minimalistic. That kills me, but evidently it's in fashion. And Nicole's taken it to the next level, which is wonderful. You know, she had a great history in the wine industry, and she did interior design and architecture, and she's brought that all back into the business. which is great.
It seems like there was a sense of fate to you coming on board and not just ripping up your dad's old school look and feel, but injecting your own touch of the next generation of the family business.
You know, the restaurant was in my blood. I was 9 months old when my parents opened the business. I was brought up in the business. I had every single Christmas for the first 26 years in the business. I, you know, it's age of six, pocket money didn't come from poopy scooping. It came from going into the kitchen and grating the cheese and grating the carrots and getting stuck in. And as soon as I could hit the floor, Dad said, off you go, go make money. Learn about the world, learn about people. We both, all three of us, are very passionate about food. We all bring very different types of cuisine to the table. And I think the three of us working together, you definitely experience that in our style of what I call more Mediterranean fusion as we have developed and grown. And and that's, I think, when Dad said, are you ready to come on board? I jumped at the opportunity. I have a three-year-old son who will be doing the same thing and grating carrots and grating parmesan cheese as soon as he can. And one thing that I said to Dad, if I come on board, we have to be open-minded to modernizing, Madonnaing it a little bit, changing it up a little. And I think Dad is, not I think, I can tell you, I've been wildly impressed with how open-minded he's been, how accepting he's been of change, me taking down a little bit of the history to neaten up the space a little bit, to represent the look and feel that we create and represent the beauty of the food, because our food has always been fantastic. But we just needed a little facelift, a mommy makeover.
She says you were very open to this. Was there a little reluctance?
With difficulty, yes. No, we're very good at actually working together. And apart from a wine list, we've done it pretty well together. But no, we talk a lot about food, about situations. I feel that I'm starting to drop the pearls that are so important in life when it comes to running a business and teaching Nicole how to deal with things. You know, restaurants aren't just food and customers. You've got labor, you've got, it just doesn't end. And this is where I feel this is my last bit of teaching you the little things in life that are so important, how to deal with customers, how to deal with the public. There's so much. It really... This is the time that I can teach her the last little bit. Am I right?
I'm lapping it up.
You're lapping it up.
I suspect, though, that the teaching works both ways, not just on the aesthetic and the interior decor and the look and feel, but you had, was it 6 years at Vinimark in the wine industry? So you've got some guidance you can give your dad there.
Yeah, I think when I came on, I might have come on a little bit strong initially, you know.
Yes.
I'm sure you would agree.
Let's have a 600 bottle wine list.
Exactly.
10-year-old vintages.
Yeah, exactly. To that point, exactly that. I was like, we've got to level it up. And what transpired is Dad actually humbled me a lot in terms of going, you will come in with new ideas, but I have experience. And we have to have a bit of give and take. And I don't think that took us long. We've only had one fight in the entire time that we've been together, and that was over the wine list, because I killed the whole wine list and started from scratch. And he said, there are customers that come in, and he was very right. There are brands that you don't take off and you don't mess with, and they stay, and people love them, and they've been supporting them for years and years and years. And
that's what we did.
And we're very good at communicating together. You know, if we do, the one time we've ever had a little bit of an argy-bargy, we both walk away from one another, settle down, and we come back and we go, okay, how are we going to tackle this? So we're very good partners, I think.
But I must say, when it comes to food, I think we're on the same page. We love... You know, we love creating and then going, maybe that's not working. Let's try this. And we're going to be very fat one day. You know that.
I'm getting there already.
Because we can make six versions of a certain meal that's going to go out as a speciality. And one thing we're very proud of, we offer about 12 specialities every day. So if it's not fresh fish, I do crazy things like I do a crepe with chicken and prawns, coriander and onions, and then I roll it and I put a grilled banana. Not even Jamie Oliver would put a prawn and a banana together. So a grilled
with
banana
good reason.
So we do this grilled banana on top with a light cream curry sauce. So you got curry, banana, chicken, prawns. It works so well. So that's the kind of thing we want to do. crazy, crazy food. We do snails and lychees with almonds and Roquefort cheese and butter and garlic.
We do some incredible pizzas as well, which you're going to be trying today. Yeah,
we're very excited.
How are you two not both the size of houses? Because if there's all this amazing food coming in and out of the kitchen.
We do jump.
We're very fit. My dad got me surfing at the age of 3, and we train together. We are very... we're very aware of that our bodies are what carry us through this business. We do a lot of mileage, like you said when we started, is that we're very hands-on, we're very active with our customers, and we do, I think, on average, between 16 and 20,000 steps a day. So you've got to stay fit.
Yeah, you've got to be fit in this business.
You've also got to be able to handle what is a fairly intense business, particularly come into season. You've got a lot of people coming through the door. And that is, it's kind of rinse and repeat a lot of the time. More people coming and going and looking after all of them. A few in particular, Trevor, how do you keep going? What's the motivation to keep doing this?
The motivation is I want to be successful. I love my business. I really do. And I love the food. And I suppose I'm motivated because I love what I do. But it's a very different market when it comes to December, January to our local market. So I've always said to my staff, you've got to understand one thing. Local people trust you. They know what you do. And they'll roll with you. You'll give them things to try and they'll be happy to try it. When you get people coming down from Pretoria, Joburg, wherever, they don't know you. They don't trust you. It's a little harder because you've got to get that trust factor when it comes to food and supplying food and suggesting food. We get a lot of people that say, what do you suggest? And you've got to be on the button there.
Yeah. And that's when you bring out your honey, tuna, grapefruit and pup special that you've made up at 3 that morning after 2
exactly.
bottles of
wine. Exactly. That's the only way to do it.
One of the things I'd imagine would be a real factor is that you often find that restaurants with this kind of location looks amazing. You've got 30 brilliant photos for Instagram, but the service is a bit hurried, the pricing's a bit high, the food doesn't tend to match up because it is quite easy to coast in this sort of location. Now, clearly that's not what you're doing, or you wouldn't have won the award that you have, but I'm guessing that is something you're very aware of, that you do want to make sure that the experience goes beyond just how cool is the view.
Pricing, I've always said to Nicole, you've always got to ask one question: what would you pay for that meal? And that's a big one. I'd rather make less product on a certain meal, less profit on a certain meal and sell it happily with a happy customer going away than killing it and you know, making too much markup and then the customer will never come back. It's that simple.
I think one thing that we hear over and over and over again, especially from new customers, is your portion sizes are huge. I'm going to have to roll. You just roll me down the steps when I'm done. And I think that's something that we're very proud of. It's sometimes something that we discuss because I feel that portion sizes need to encourage guests to have a starter, main course, and a dessert. And I think people just go indulge anyway, even though the portion sizes are definitely larger than most. But the price is right. We often get feedback going, you guys are underpriced, you are exceptionally reasonable. And I think it's a wonderful thing. I'd rather be able, in a generation of right now where we are financially in South Africa, I'd rather be in a position where I can go to El Pescatore once a week, twice a week, and not once a month or once every 3 months for date night. We want guests to be able, and we do, we have guests that are come every single week, sometimes twice a week, religiously for years. I think that's something to be very proud of.
I think also when it comes to food, I'd rather cater for the bigger guy and let the smaller person leave with the takeaway than let the bigger guy leave hungry. Because me personally, if I left a restaurant hungry, I'll never go back, without a doubt.
You are an Italian restaurant. The Mediterranean way is to cater generously and ensure there's plenty there. All of this talk has now got me rather hungry. We have some Sauvignon Blanc that's disappearing quickly, but there is some other wine to try as well. It does need some pizza. And this is your big moment because you have finished second runners-up. That means my expectations are massive. I am expecting to float out of El Pescatore in a blur blur of delight and euphoria, and that comes down to the two of you producing some world-class pizza. So I shall banish you both to the kitchen, and when you return, armed with some more wine, I want to see just how good you guys really are.
Great.
Bring it on.
Let's do it.
All right, they're going to head off to the kitchen. I've got some more Sauvignon Blanc to take in, as well as a rather good view. I'm feeling a swimming costume moment coming on shortly. Well, the restaurateurs have been brought back from the kitchen, and they have brought with them what looks absolutely glorious. This is a half-half. Trevor, what are my two pizza options here, and why are they so special?
So two of my personal favorites. On the left-hand side, we've got the D'Urbs pizza. It's a very, very light cream curry. Doesn't really interfere with other flavors. On a margarita with fillet steak and avocado.
Oh.
The second one's more Asian style. It's a Thai pizza. It's got prawns, calamari, coriander, mushrooms, and we put a reduction of rosemary and balsamic vinegar over it, just to sweeten it slightly, with pickled ginger.
I'm seeing fresh coriander and I'm seeing spring onion. So basically it's a salad. So I quite like the look of that. But let me try, as I pull this out, you tell me that the D'Urbs is something of a pilgrimage pizza. People come from all over
they
the place.
They come back just over and over for it.
Should we dive in?
All right.
It's messy, a little juicy. That's what pizza should be.
All right, so here we go. This is pizza that is from the second runner-up nationally. So this should really be earth-shatteringly good. Let's find out. Mm. That's lovely. That fillet is perfectly cooked. There's a welcome little touch of bite and heat to the sauce. Fresh avocado is always a winner. And I think that the thing that we talk about so often when it comes to pizza is your base. And that base is very light and very elegant. It's still got a crunch to it. There's still much Christmas to it. But it's not kind of 4 inches of Chicago deep dish, which I think if you're sitting in 42 degrees and 117% humidity in Benito, it's really what you want. I can see why people come all the way for this. This is glorious. I think I might just have to have one more bite just to be absolutely sure.
You should.
And with it being so saucy, it's still the base is firm enough and kind of holds itself with the cheese and the sauce. And
of course, in a wood fire oven, which is the only oven to cook in.
So, that is a delight. Well, possibly even better than the airline breakfast I had on my flight down this morning.
That's how good it is.
I could smash a lot more of that, but I want to try the other one. The one I think is a salad.
The Thai.
Thai, calamari and prawns.
Let's give you another plate.
Oh, there we go. And fresh coriander. I'm a big fan of fresh coriander.
Yeah.
And particularly a sea, which I really love. You've made sure you've kept the stalks in there because there's so much beautiful flavor from those.
You'll definitely get a little bit of umami coming through because it's got the sweet and the savory, a little bit different from the D'Urbs.
A little bit of the
and the pickled ginger.
Ooh.
Thailand.
That's industrial umami. And not Thai Thailand, and then I don't need a fire brigade to come and sort my palate out.
No.
But there's definitely some nice warmth in there.
Great.
And I think where I have had pizza where clearly the chef has been on something more than he should have, or she has, and you've got 96 ingredients on a single pizza. You do have to show some restraint, but I think you've got a nice wide range of stuff on here, but it's working so beautifully in chorus. I'm really enjoying this.
Again, we these are our very, what I'm going to call, off the beaten track, non-traditional style pizzas. We do the traditional style and we do them beautifully, but we really wanted to showcase something
different.
You know, why? And you'll see in our social media, often people go, Derbs Pizza. We travel every year down from Joburg for the Derbs Pizza. Mm. So I'm glad to see that you've enjoyed it as much as our guests do.
Oof, those are great. And luckily it's a nice cold day at Belito, so I'm not feeling the heat at all. It's going to be a lot of fun with those. We are a wine show, and so that is such a crucial component. And I'm never one on... only one particular wine, it can have a go with one particular dish. We're all such individual people with different palates. But I do feel that South Africa's great white wine, which is Chenin Blanc, has got such a remarkable versatility, and amongst that versatility is an ability to take on a little bit of heat and a little bit of spice. So I'll leave this one with El Pescatore's Global Director of Wine. So we have here the Porcupine Ridge Chenin Blanc, and we've got on both of these pizzas some nice warmth. And I think with both of them, Nicole, this is a wine that's really going to amplify the range of flavours and not be drowned out by the heat that's generated from the two pizzas.
Agreed. I think it's very important also that, as you mentioned, it's a cool day in Belito. Serving this wine at the correct temperature is really important to us as well. So it brings out, I think, a little bit more of the fruit in the wine, particularly with that little zing that's tap dancing on your tongue slightly. What do you think, Dan?
I think it's doing exactly that. It's also cooling me down a little after those two glorious mouthfuls of pizza. And there's also plenty of acidity in, which is cutting through some of the richer flavours, and that sauce, I think, in particular, on the Derbs pizza, but also able to handle, and not just the spice, but things like fresh coriander, which makes its presence felt.
Sure.
And you need a wine that can stand up to that. And the best food and wine combinations are always those where you feel that one is bringing the best out of the other and vice versa, and not that somebody is dominating the dance. And this is working very nicely indeed.
Well done.
Yeah. Ah, cheers, guys.
Cheers.
I'm certainly going to be having some more of this pizza in just a moment. I also have our 12-person camera crew salivating visibly. Unfortunately, they're all allergic to pizza, so we can't give them any of it. They will be back, I'm sure, as will I. For a restaurant that's now got this new accolade, you've got this award. It's a very well-earned one. I love the story. I love the family effort you put in, and the fact that little three-year-old Sloan is actually in the kitchen at the moment washing dishes. Firmly believe that's the right home parenting. But it's also one where there's clearly a very exciting past, but also a very exciting future, and so much more still to come from El Pescatore.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks for coming, Dan. It's been a pleasure hosting you and having you, and I'm so chuffed that you love our pizzas.
I certainly do. Look, it's not an easy thing to travel around the country sampling great wine and eating fabulous pizza, but these are the sacrifices I make for people like you, and I'm glad you appreciate the effort.
We appreciate it. Can we go for a swim now?
I would love it. Let's skip along the beach, hand in hand there, Trevor, and celebrate your victory. Guys, congratulations. Enjoy.
Thank you.
And I look forward to being back and seeing these very high standards maintained, as I know they will be.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Appreciate it.
Thank you, Dan. Cheers.
So there we go. Cheers, guys. And congratulations to Al Pescatore, who finish as second runner-up in the 2025 edition of the Porcupine Ridge Pizzeria Challenge. It's been another wonderful year for the challenge, and what I absolutely adore is the chance to find places like this, where you've got real family-driven establishments with a rich, rich history and a deep love of making people happy through the medium of food and wine, and delivering so well as they do. If you haven't been to Al Pescatore, I think they've got an opening in 2028, but book quickly. And when you do come down, there's a pretty good chance you'll see me here again as well. Cheers.